Go with me back to Psalm 5. Psalm 5. A very dear sister in the Lord sent me a note a little while back and listed two verses from this psalm as a word of encouragement. And this psalm mentions the subject of prayer, which is what we looked at for our Bible study this morning. And we read one verse from this psalm in the message this morning. So for all of those reasons, we're here tonight. Everything just calls me to look to this psalm. Let me start by reading the verses of encouragement that this sister sent to me. It's verse 11 and 12. Psalm 5, verse 11. It says, "But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield." That's encouraging, isn't it? I'd love to enter into the glory of what our Lord has done for us just once. We just sang 475, Redeemed. And while we were singing it, I was thinking, I wish just one time I could enter into this song. Redeemed. Some are not redeemed. And here we are singing, redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed, redeemed, as child forever I am. I wish one time I could just enter into that. Just get a hold of that. Just really rejoice in that. Rejoice in what the Lord has done. Let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because you're going to defend them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. That's just so encouraging. It's so amazing. This psalm, you heard me read it just a minute ago, this is a psalm of judgment and mercy. That's what the psalm is. Clear judgment and clear mercy. And this psalm makes me deeply desire mercy. It makes me want mercy. This psalm does not make me want to say to God, give me what I've earned. That's what false religion causes men and women to want, to foolishly say to God, just give me what I've earned. Not me, not us. We don't say, give me what I've earned. We say, give me what Christ earned. Just please give me what Christ earned. We don't say, give me what's coming to me. We say, Lord, our prayer is that you gave Christ what was coming to me. And that in your mercy and in your grace, you will give me what was coming to Christ. That's my hope. That literally is my hope. You want me to give you my testimony? Why don't you stand up and give your testimony? Here it is. My hope is that God gave Christ what I deserved, and he's going to give me what Christ deserves. That's my hope. This is a psalm of judgment and mercy. And we cry this with David. We cry this to God from the depths of our hearts for his mercy. These are the words of every child of God. What I just read to us a moment ago, these are the words of every child of God. But I want us to read this as it ought to be read. These are the words of David. These are the words of all of God's people. But only because these are the words of Christ. That's the only reason why. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's listen to His voice in this. Let's listen to this intimate conversation between the Lord Jesus Christ and the Father. Verse 1 says, "Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation." That word meditation means groaning, moaning, sighing in spirit. Sighing in spirit. Think about the constant sighing of the Lord Jesus Christ as He walked in this world. We sigh, don't we? Doesn't this world cause us to just... All right, well, we're sinners. And He was the holy, spotless Son of God. Think of everything that He had to see and hear, not only in what came out of the mouth, but even in what stayed in the heart. As He walked this earth, He was vexed by not only what He saw men doing and heard men saying, He was even vexed by the thoughts men were thinking. Can you imagine? We would be vexed if right now it was dead silence. Our Lord could walk into a crowd of people with no one talking and hear all the conversation of their minds. Could you imagine if we could hear everybody's mind? It would vex us. I mean, this is Jesus Christ. It was wide open to Him, just the thoughts. It was wide open to Him knowing their hearts, seeing what was in their hearts. Verse 1, He said, "Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For unto Thee will I pray." The thought of the communication between the Father and the Son is such a holy thought to me. It is so holy. The humility and the reverence and the respect that they have for each other is so holy to me. The Son says to the Father, "My King and my God." And the Father says to the Son, "My King and my God." This is how they speak to each other. This is how they speak of each other. They are truly one with each other. And they lovingly, humbly, reverently submit to each other. It was the Son's submission to the Father that caused Him to come here to endure all of this sin in order to save His people. 30 years He had to endure sin. 33.5 years He had to endure sin. So He said in verse 2, "Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto Thee will I pray. My voice shalt Thou hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto Thee and will look up." Can we hear Him saying that from the cross? Knowing that He's about to bow His head and give up the ghost. Knowing that He is about to endure the darkness of forsaken separation from God. But knowing in faith that His Father was not going to leave Him there or let Him see corruption. He knew that. He said that. Knowing that He would surely rise again the third day. How many times did He tell His disciples, "I'm going to Jerusalem, they are going to crucify me, and 3 days later I'm going to rise again"? Knowing that, can we hear him say, Father, the moment I wake up from this, my heart and my voice will be directed to you in love and in thankfulness. Verse 3, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. In faith, in faithfulness from the cross, our Lord said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. Verse 3, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. Psalm 22 is most definitely the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Most definitely. Verse 1 says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's how the psalm starts. And he goes on to say in Psalm 22, I know why you have forsaken me. It's because you are holy and you must punish sin. And that's what he's saying right here. I know why I must hang on this cross. It's because, verse 4, thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. And our Lord Jesus Christ says, Father, that's what our people are. This is us. This is us. All men and women are going to be destroyed. But God's people were destroyed on the cross of Calvary. He hated the iniquity of his people on the cross of Calvary. This morning in the book of Matthew, as our Lord was standing there before Pilate, all of these false witnesses brought railing accusations against him. And he answered nothing, to the point that Pilate marveled. And he said, do you not hear what they're witnessing against you? They're accusing you of sin after sin after sin. Why aren't you saying anything? It's because the accusers didn't bring one railing accusation that wasn't true about the people he was standing there for. That's the reason why. Everything they said was true concerning us. It was true concerning the people he was standing in the place of. The ones he stood there for, his own, they were wicked, evil, foolish workers of iniquity. That's me. But he stood in their place. He endured their destruction. Our Lord said, you are going to destroy this temple. That's what he said. You are going to destroy this temple. Why? Because that's what my people deserve. And I'm standing in their place. And when this is all over, I and the children that the Father has given to me, we're going to worship God together. Verse 7, but as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. Only the Lord Jesus Christ could say that. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulcher. They flatter with their tongue. Destroy thou them, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against thee. That's all men and women on the face of this earth. Thank God that's God's people in Christ on the cross. Verse 11, he said, but let all those that put their trust in thee. Do you know, if our trust is in him, you know why it's in him? He put it there. If our trust is in the Lord, it's because Jesus Christ's trust was in the Lord and we're in Him. If our trust is in the Lord, Jesus Christ gets the glory for that. Therefore, verse 11 says, "Let all those that put their trust in Thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because Thou defendest them." That word defendest means coverest, protectest. You cover them. You protect them. "Let them also that love Thy name be joyful in Thee, for Thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous." Every man and woman in Christ, Christ the righteous one. "With favor wilt Thou compass him as with a shield." That word compass means crown him, and it means surround him as with a shield. He said, you're going to surround your people with a shield. You're going to surround them. Turn with me to Psalm 125. Years ago, when I was going through a great trial in life, it was a great trial to me. It wasn't a great trial compared to what many have gone through, but it was a great trial to me. This psalm was a warm blanket to me. And 24 years later, it still is. This is a promise that I cling to. I personally find so much comfort in this. Psalm 125, verse 1, it says, "They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about His people, from henceforth, even forever." They that trust in the Lord, they're going to be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abides forever. God's people cannot be removed. Why? They're in Christ, and Christ can't be removed. "And as the mountains are round about Jerusalem, the Lord is around His people, surrounding His people, from henceforth, even forever." There is so much safety in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's so much safety. That's what I want to be. I want to be safe. I want to be kept safe. So much safety in the Lord Jesus Christ. "Those who have been caused and allowed to put their trust in the Lord can rejoice with all of their heart, because they are kept and they are safe." What words of comfort. What words of encouragement. Turn over to 2 Kings 6. I'm done. I feel like I've only been preaching for 10 minutes. But I'm done. This is all I want to say. 2 Kings 6, verse 8. "Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, In such and such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, Beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once or twice." Syria was going against Israel, and Elisha warned the king of Israel, "Don't go this way." And the king of Israel listened, and it saved him, saved his life more than twice, not once nor twice, more than that. Verse 11, "Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled, for this thing. And he called his servants and said unto them, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? We have somebody who is telling our secrets to Israel. Who is it? Who's the traitor? Verse 12, and one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet that is in Israel telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. And he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he's in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God, when Elisha's servant was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, ran back into the house and said unto Elisha, alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. That comforts your heart? There is so much safety in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the place of safety. In him is so much safety. I love that story of Charles Wesley. He was a man in the 1700s. He was a preacher. He was a hymn writer. He has hymns in our hymn book. And the story is told that he was upstairs in his house and the window was open and a storm just that fast came up. You know, lightning and rain and thunder and wind, and it just... all of a sudden, and he ran to the window and reached out to grab the shutters, to pull the shutters closed. And when he did, a bird ran into his coat. And he pulled that little bird into his warmth and safety. And he sat down and wrote, Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly. Just like that little bird flew in here, let me come into your safety. Your peace, Lord, your warmth. There's so much safety in the Lord Jesus Christ. Go to him. Go to him alone. To him be all the glory. Amen.